We're drinking town with a football problem. Hey everybody, welcome into the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Ferlin.
And I'm Amy.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
I'm Steve.
I'm Steve.
You can follow me at Safamud.
You can follow myself at Fernie635.
And I'm at CFL Hottieball.
Make sure you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're also on Instagram, just search Piffles Pod. And don't forget to check out the brand new website, PifflesPodcast.com. As always, Piffles Podcast, fueled by Coney Island Poutine Cafe, the best poutine in the prairies, two locations in Regina. They deliver. Coney Island Poutine Cafe in Regina. Coming up on this week's show, we got the latest Rider news. That won't take us very long, but not a lot happening since the draft last week, but we'll talk about what little news that there is. Our Piffles player profile, we're going to talk to Joe Craig. We're going to have him in studio a little bit later on here. We're going to talk to David Winter. We teased this last week a little bit. He's with Canuck Play. He's going to talk about the new Canadian football video game that's going to be released right away. And we're going to continue our team-by-team previews. We're going to take a look at the defending Grey Cup champions, the Ottawa Red Blacks. And we have a couple things we want to rant on, so we're going to get to that in a little bit. So let's get right down to it. The Rider news. Well, this won't take very long, like I said. The Riders traded a late-round conditional pick to the BC Lions for safety Mike Edom. The pick given up was apparently conditional on if Edom renegotiated a new contract, and as we found out, he did. He locked up for two more years, so he's with the Riders through 2018. So it just adds another Canadian safety to the depth chart.
And in that trade, the Riders also got a conditional pick back, so kind of a give-a-pick, take-a-pick type of trade, plus we get a player out of it.
It's a good depth move. We needed somebody behind Briette with a little bit of experience, so I like it. Just more depth moves that Jones is making.
And he's always been a good special teams player, and you can never have too many of those.
Not very often this late in the offseason you can get a good Canadian like that, so not much bad can be said about the trade.
And seriously, never tell Chris Jones he can have too many of anything. We saw what he did last year with the pre-practice squad.
Well, and just what we've seen this whole offseason is improve that Canadian depth, and that's another focus that he had coming into this year. We looked at what we had last year before he even took over, and then there really wasn't much. And after his initial purge and draft picks not panning out, had to do something this year. Made a splash in the draft by getting Cameron Judge, who looks like he's going to be signing with the Riders fairly soon. The Riders have their teleconference on Wednesday here. And even though Chris Jones kind of jumped around it, didn't really mention what was going on, he said, "We're going to leave it to the people down south." Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation reporting that Cameron Judge didn't get a contract offer from the Houston Texans. So it sounds like he'll be negotiating with the Riders right away here.
Well, and if everything we heard that he was the best athlete available in the draft, I can't wait to see what he can do signing on board. Looking forward to training camp. It needs to get here already.
Just another depth move for the Riders. So keep an eye on PifflesPodcast.com. Next week, we'll be taking a look at the roster and how it might shake down through camp. Take a look at the depth chart and go from there and see where this team kind of stacks up. But really, that's all for Rider news this week. So let's meet one of the players who will be in training camp next week, actually fighting for a job. Time for our Piffles player profile. I really want to know. Tell me, who are you? Joining us this week on the Piffles player profile is wide receiver, kick returner, Joe Craig Jr. Joe, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, first off, how was the offseason?
Oh, it's going good. I actually came back up here at the beginning of March and been working out with Coach Clint ever since, so it's been going real good.
Now, what's been keeping you busy other than just kind of training and get ready?
Everything I've been doing is football. There's nothing for me to do but football. So we lift weights every day, go run every day, and watch film. That's all day long. So I told Coach and them if they had a bed in the stadium, I probably would never leave.
So taking a look at the moves the Riders made this offseason, they loaded up on receivers, which nobody saw as a position of weakness last season. What are your thoughts about having to compete for the position, and what are you going to do to kind of get your role there?
I actually love it. I think the biggest thing that's going to happen in training camp is it's going to separate itself. Receivers that want to play is going to show, and those that don't, you know, Coach Jones, he don't have too much of a problem sending you home. So For me, I'm just going in with the open mind of just trying to stay on the team. I don't think it's a day that I don't walk into that locker room hoping and praying that it's not a letter for me to go see Mike Davis, because I know that chances are I might be cut. So
going from the old Taylor Field to the new Mosaic Stadium, it's a huge change for the players. What are you looking forward to most in the new building?
That's a big transition. I didn't know I got here at the end of the season last year, and just to play on the hard surface like that, to get tackled on something like that is very injury prone. So just being get out there on a new turf and being that deep down in the hole to hear this Rider Nation out there, it's going to be ridiculous, especially with the echo. I think it may be the loudest in the CFL.
So what kind of things do you do outside of football when, like, in the off season?
Run track. I think that's basically like one of my first loves. I really love track more than I did football, but I had more success at football. So run track, play video games, and spend time with my son. That's pretty much what I do.
So one of your biggest plays last year was the kick return touchdown. Can you take us back to that? Obviously, we're not the athletic type here. what's it like to kind of to grab that ball, look up, and see the C's part like they did? Just describe that.
That's something that you pray for on a daily. It rarely happens. I mean, during that play, I was actually misjudged the ball. I came up, and I knew if I would have went to try to catch it, it probably bounced off my chest, so I just let it bounce. And during the play, it took me a while to get to the ball, so I reminded myself that they got to give me 5 yards. And Coach John, he really teaches us to take the penalty, because something like that can happen. So when I seen them backing up, I just gave time for my teammates to get in front of them and block them, and it was easy. So just to see that happen like that, I automatically knew it was going to be a touchdown.
So you haven't been in Saskatchewan very long, but from your time here, what's your take on it? Is there anything that really stands out to you at all?
The people. When I was afraid of getting up here, because it was basically my first time in Canada, I didn't really know the people like that. But just to be come here and feel welcome and not even want to go back to the United States says a lot. And also another thing that stands out is the cold temperature.
You never get used to it.
Oh, no.
Now, when you first got the call to come to the Riders here, you were mowing lawns.
Yeah.
So, like, take us through that. How do you go from mowing lawns to being, you know, a pro football player?
Oh, man. Well, I started mowing lawns when I got released by the Bengals. I only attended the camp with those. But ever since then, I was mowing lawns. And to be honest with you, I thought it was a prank, because I rarely open my Facebook app to see if any inboxes. And I had an inbox that was sitting in there from John Murphy for almost 2 weeks. And I instantly opened it, and he asked me, did I have a passport and was I signed with anybody? So I instantly replied, and maybe 2 or 3 days later, they flew me up here. So to go from cutting grass to living your dream once again is very humbling. I'm thankful for it.
And if you weren't a professional football player, what would you do with your life?
Oh, man, I think I want to be an actor. I don't know. I guess I like being in front of the camera, kind of shy, but I think I can do a good job at it. I took a class for growing up, Wings Drama, back in South Carolina, and if I wasn't, I'd probably still do it, or attempt to try it. Let me say that. I'm going to attempt to try to do it when football is over.
Now, would you be like a comedian, like a comedic actor?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I got to do that. I don't think I can take any serious roles that, like, Denzel Washington or any of those guys. I can't do it.
What's the greatest movie of all time?
To me, it's Troy. I love Troy. You guys saw that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's my favorite movie, actually.
All right. Well, Joe, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Joe Craig Jr., wide receiver, kick returner for the Riders. We'll be sure to track his progress in training camp starting next weekend in Saskatoon. Like you mentioned early in that interview, Steve, he's competing against this huge stable of wide receivers that we have. So it'll be interesting to see where he lands.
You know what I like best about that interview? He's going into camp with a great attitude. He knows he's got in a tough spot. He's got a push to make it, and he's going to do everything he can. I think he'll make it.
All right, don't forget to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and check out PifflesPodcast.com for much more content. But speaking of training camp coming up, now comes the annual call for bikes for players, which inspires this week's rant.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Now, I ranted about this last year, and here I am ranting about it again, so I'll keep it nice and short. We're starting to see the players reach out on social media asking for bikes to borrow for training camp. Now, to me, it's absolutely pathetic on the team's part to basically force these players to beg for a bike. The team makes hand over fist in dollars. We are opening a massive new stadium that has ridiculous perks like a barber shop inside, but we can't buy 75 cheap bikes for the players. And it's not like they have to worry about getting rid of the bikes after. They can donate them to charity or something and use it as a tax write-off. I don't blame the players. This is on the organization itself. It's cheap, it's pathetic, and I hate it. I understand that this builds a relationship with the fans, and hey, look, you can get a pick and an autograph with the player in return, but it's a joke. This team has all the money, but they do this, and it makes them look really petty. But that's not the only thing that this team cheaps out on. Guys, let's talk for a minute about our season ticket boxes. Did you enjoy your shoelace?
Yeah, I'm wearing it right now.
I needed a new pair.
I also needed a new pair of shoelaces because the dog keeps eating mine.
Like it's convenient. You get a shoelace, which doubles as what they're calling a lanyard. And the hologram on the box is kind of cool. But what am I going to do with a hologram? It's literally just going to sit there and not move.
It's going to sit
and stay there.
It's going to sit in that box until they sell them for $5 at the locker room sale at the end of the year.
Is the hologram attached to the lid of the box?
No, it's a separate one. And actually, you get one per seat. So you get a bonus. You have two season tickets. You get a bonus hologram.
Yeah, we haven't gotten ours yet. So
yeah.
But then I saw you can also, there's a little drawer at the bottom, and there's this season ticket playbook that's in there, which basically tells you where all the bathrooms are. Tells you where to pee in the brand new stadium.
That is important information.
Now, normally this wouldn't bother me because I've come to expect so little from the team in terms of actually doing something for their season ticket holders. But this is the inaugural season of a new stadium. You're opening something. This is it's a huge event. Here's a shoelace. Really?
Well, we threw up an article this week on the website about the different perks that some of the teams get. And most of them across the board are pretty similar. You get a discount at the team store, 10, 15, 20%. I think the Argos and I think the Eskimos as well have bonus tickets to give to a friend or to use yourself or whatever you want. But the fact that the Riders do nothing never ceases to amaze me. I know they used to. I know, and again, we don't need to. We sell out, but that's not going to last forever. And they're taking advantage of fans now, and fans will remember that, you'd hope.
I think even... Like last year, we had a fairly nice farewell season lanyard, and I think even that would have greatly improved the mood amongst Rider fans about this year's season ticket package. But
I think they shy away from that team store discount because shareholders already get a discount, and they don't want to cheapen the value on that. But there's got to be something else that they can do to thank season ticket holders than... letting you tie your shoes with a white shoelace.
I like what they're doing with the Rider Rewards program. I just think that the prizes available either get too expensive for points and you can't get them anyways, or the prizes aren't that good at all and they're kind of just throwaway.
And Greg mentioned that in his article on piflespodcast.com, so make sure you check that out, that it's like going to Chuck E. Cheese. You don't have enough for the big giant prize, so you're left with buying the double bubble and those little combs that they sell, right? Like,
hey, we got those coupons that we got an $80 hoodie for like $20 with when we went to the Rider store and bought all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I got a couple American gift cards. Yeah, I got a $10 gift card and a $5 gift card.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that is fine. But, like, if you ever want to get the tickets for Labor Day that they do, or, like, the lodge seating or whatever, that kind of thing, you got to get to the stadium 3 hours early. You have to spend about a 14 grand at the Rider store.
Yeah, that's...
Just to accumulate these points.
That's where the points are going, is to the people that already have the money to buy the things that they're giving away with the points.
I was just going to say, so at that point, you're just going to buy the things by yourself because you have that much money?
Yeah,
pretty much. And the idea, I like the idea behind it.
Absolutely.
It's a little bonus for coming to the games and spending your money. And that, I kind of appreciate what they're trying to do. And I really don't have an issue with the prizes that they give away, because they're not going to give away thousands of dollars worth of stuff just because. That's just not the Rider way. But I do appreciate that there's something. And I know last year we got a couple of the free food vouchers at the practice field and little things like that. But it does amount to cheaping out on the double bubble and the little trinkets in the front counter as opposed to saving up for the big prize.
And I was talking to somebody at work today about this, actually, and why not throw in, you know, new concessions and everything? We want people to spend money there. So I know you're not going to give, you know, you don't have, we're not, I'm not saying you should give everybody a discount on the food, but give everybody, like, all the season ticket holders a free hamburger coupon. Doesn't have to be for the big restaurants that are going to be in the stadium, just for the general concession. Because if I have a free hot dog coupon and I wasn't, or a hamburger coupon, whatever it is, and I wasn't originally going to buy that, I'm going to go there, get that, and I'm going to take some money that I wasn't going to spend and be like, oh, well, I might as well grab a drink too. And if you have 30,000 people doing that, you're selling 30,000 drinks.
Yeah, it's basic business. You pull people in with a smaller object like a free hamburger or something, and then they spend money on other stuff that you can actually make more profit off of, like drinks. They charge $3 or $4 for a drink that only costs them 25 cents to actually give you. So,
and think of how many upgraded burgers you could sell to a cheeseburger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Free hamburger, you have to pay $1 for the cheese though.
Yeah, and if I'm buying a drink that's going to be $4.50 anyway, okay, well, I might as well buy one. And you know, I'm paying with a $20 bill, so, well, I might as well throw the cheese on there because I'm not going to miss a dollar. I understand business. I understand that you want to make as much money off the consumer as possible, and you don't make money by giving away things, in theory, and I say that with quotes, but you don't make money without spending money. And I think that's something that they should have done for the fans, especially the ones that are, you know, have been around for 20, 30, 40 years. Like, you're getting people that have been around forever, their ticket prices go up almost 50% to go into this new building, and you get a shoelace. Great, that's going to work great for my Velcro shoes. I might cut that out. Sorry, old people.
Do you actually wear Velcro shoes?
Well, no. Today I'm wearing my slip-ons. I don't have Velcro shoes.
Okay, good.
Although that'd be really, really convenient, though.
See, that would have been a good time to make a bald joke.
Poor Alex.
But anyway, I just think the team's being absolutely cheap when it comes to things like this.
Can I flip the tables a little bit and throw something a little positive in at the end of this?
Absolutely.
I do have to say I love the fact that we've got a whole bunch of new season ticket holders. I don't know if anybody else has been on Twitter or social media at all this week, but those new fans that are getting their season ticket box that haven't been disappointed for years with the lack of giveaways, they are pumped. They are excited to get those. Like, you see people, I've seen some of our listeners going, just like every day they keep going back, showing a picture of their season ticket box going, I can't believe I'm a season ticket holder. So
yeah.
It's kind of nice to see that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I love being a season ticket holder. I go for the football. I don't go for the perks and getting a free hamburger. But I mean, something like that to me is just economic, like business 101. Give you a free hamburger, you're going to buy a drink. Oh, you're probably going to buy another hamburger too. They're going to make more money doing that. And I don't know if they realize that or not, but I just think it's really cheap on the Riders' behalf. But that's just me. Anyway, don't forget to join our Piffles Pick'em group on CFL.ca. We'll have a nice prize pack to the winner at the end of the year, so make sure you join that and embarrass us. If you paid attention to us last year, we absolutely sucked at Pick'em. We were barely 500, so it won't be that hard to beat us. So join that group. Links on our Twitter, links on our Facebook. Just make sure you go check it out, join the group, and win some prizes. Last week, we mentioned that there will be a Canadian football video game for release shortly. Joining us on the Piffles podcast this week to talk more about it is David Winter of Canuck Play. David, thanks for taking our call.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So first off, tell us a little bit about the video game. What platforms will it be on, and will there be any differences between the platforms?
So the game has been in development for about 17 months. We kicked off formal development after we got an agreement in place with Microsoft, and that was in early 2016. So we're just about through our 18-month schedule, and earlier this week, I guess actually late last week, we submitted our build to Microsoft to kick off the certification process. So we are targeting the Xbox One first is our first platform we'll be launching on. Then we're going to be launching on the PC desktop shortly after that. And then when we get those two platforms up and running, we're going to go back and take a look and see what we can do with the PS4. We have a publishing agreement with Sony, but it came so late in our development schedule that we had to sort of set them aside while we worked on the other platforms. So our plan is to go back and and get something with the PS4. As far as differences, the Xbox One and the desktop will be practically feature for feature exactly the same. There will be a few differences here and there, but your core gameplay is going to be the same. The PC version is a port of the desktop game, so once you're on the field and running around and throwing the ball, you won't notice any difference. They'll be exactly the same. The biggest differences will be that, obviously, on the PC desktop, you're not going to have the Xbox platform-specific features like unlockable achievements and hero stats and those sorts of things. Obviously, they're not going to be there on the desktop. But on the desktop, we're going to also have a full play designer, so you can build and design your own plays. On the desktop, also, the team and uniform files are open source, so anybody with a knowledge of XML editing can change the team rosters and the coaching profiles, and anybody who's proficient in something like Illustrator or Photoshop can change the artwork to be whatever they want the artwork to be. So we've kept that open source on the desktop version. But those are the big differences between the platforms.
Now, you mentioned the ability to change kind of team logos and team names. That leads us into the next question. This game is not licensed by the CFL or CFLPA at this point. First off, can you take us through how that kind of went down, or what happened with the CFL? And second, will this still be similar to what you'd see in a traditional CFL game?
We do have all of the CFL rules in place. We have, it's three downs, it's 12 men, there's a 20-second play clock, the field is the correct size. We have, you know, the penalties are correct to what the professionals use. We also have a few of the little unique areas of Canadian football. We have a rouge. If it's late in the game and you're receiving a punt and you're taking it in your own end zone rather than giving up the single point, you can punt it back. We have all those mechanics in place. In terms of the gameplay itself, we are trying to match Canadian football as closely as we can. In terms of the league license, It's kind of been a challenge for us from the get-go to even get the league's attention. When we first approached the league back in December of 2015, it was a bit of a struggle even for us to get their attention. I mean, I know that they've had other groups contact them in the past about potentially doing a game, and none of those endeavors ever led to anything. And so I think initially they might have thought of us as just another one of those groups that have great ideas but nothing really behind it. And it took a little bit of convincing that, yes, we've got Microsoft on board, and yes, we have a business community here in the city of Peterborough that's on side with us, and yes, we have real office space, and you know, we have a background in actually building games, not really just talking about them. So we did eventually sit down and met at their offices, but the reality is that I really think that the CFL is so focused on other things that working with a smaller studio to build their game is really just not something that they're interested in. When we put together our business plan for Microsoft, which is what got this whole thing started, we put together a plan that would involve a certain amount of money from private funding that would also get matched with funding from various government grants and tax incentives and that sort of thing. And then once we had that business plan put together and we had Microsoft on board, that's what we took to the CFL and we said, listen, this is what we want to do. We have this much money for our budget, and we think that it's right in line with what we can expect for sales of a Canadian football game. But the reality is, I think that the CFL is looking for something that is above and beyond that. They're looking for somebody to, at least in my opinion, they're looking for somebody to pay for all of the cost of development, pay for all of the cost of marketing, plus pay the league a royalty fee on top of all that. And, you know, the league is saying in press releases and such that they're looking for a partner, but in our discussions, we really just didn't see anything that struck us as being a partnership. They just wanted everything handed to them on a and just sit back and collect royalties. So we are pretty disappointed with that. It, you know, not getting the league on board kind of set us back quite a bit in terms of our budget and what our plans were and that sort of thing. So once the league once that didn't come through, Cheryl, my partner, and I decided, well, we've invested this much of our own money, and we've got a couple of really good partners on board. So let's just do what we can with the game and see how it goes from there. So we've just decided that we're going to take smaller baby steps to get to where we need to be, and it's going to be a longer road to get to where we need to be. But I think what we've done is lay a pretty solid foundation, and we're going to go forward with that and see what we can do with it as we go along.
Now, David, two quick questions here. When will this game be released, and what's the price point?
So right now we are targeting, for the Xbox One version, we're targeting the 22nd of June. We've given ourselves a little bit of wiggle room for that. We've marked that as a tentative date. And the reason for that is, as we go through the certification process with Microsoft, we will be able to get a better idea of where we stand in terms of things that we might have to adjust to meet their specifications. We're looking pretty good right now, but we've got another month or so of certification process to go through. So we've given ourselves a little bit of wiggle room on the console. When we get the console released, then the PC version will come out soon afterwards. We are having we've actually been polling the community on our Facebook page about their preferred distribution system for desktop games. Obviously, Steam is the preferred one. Steam offers a number of advantages, but it also has a couple of significant hurdles you've got to get through before you can be on Steam. So we're trying to figure those things out as we go. And the PS4 will come a little bit later down the road. For price points, we're trying to get to a $20 Canadian price point on the Xbox One, and $15 US for sales in the United States.
Oh, that's a great price.
We think that price point makes sense for the type of game we're offering. We know that this is the first iteration of a title, and people are going to be looking at it and comparing it to a game that's had about three years of development. So it's a little bit apples and oranges, but we know there's going to be that comparison. So we want to have a price point that we think makes sense for a first iteration, small studio, and that's hopefully incentive for people to go and check it out and support us, and then that'll put us in a good position to be able to grow and move forward.
We look forward to it. David, thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thank you very much.
That was David Winter of Canuck Play joining us here on the Piffles podcast to talk about the Canadian football game coming out, well, June 22nd from the sounds of it. So look forward to that coming out, and we'll have to give it a shot and see how it is. But we only have time for one more segment this week. So let's get to our team previews. This week, we take a look at the defending Grey Cup champions, the Ottawa Redblacks. Cole Shelton with SB Nation joins us. Cole, thanks for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Now, Ottawa Redblacks defending Grey Cup champions, now without the Grey Cup MVP, Henry Burris, as he announced his retirement. Trevor Harris, now the main man. What's the vibe in Ottawa on that?
It's really well. Like, when they signed him, everyone outside of Ottawa thought there was a QB controversy, which no one in Ottawa really thought. They knew it was Burris' team, and Harris would step in next year. So now that Harris played really well last season, too, so now they kind of got a taste of what they should have this year. They should have their guy as Harris.
Now, we saw a lot of movement, especially at the receiver position for the Red Blacks. What do you think was the biggest offseason acquisition and the biggest offseason loss that the Red Blacks had?
Well, the loss for sure was Ernest Jackson. It's so hard to replace him. He had zero drops. He was the hero of the Grey Cup, that catch. The biggest addition, I'd have to say Kenny Shaw, the receiver. So you lose Chris Williams and Ernest Jackson, obviously, but then Kenny Shaw and DeAndre Spencer, kind of a package deal. You get to Shaw's a 1,000-yard receiver, Spencer's a CFL veteran. If they can somewhat do what Jackson and Williams did, is like Ottawa still should be in good shape with the Buds and Ellickson and Sinopoli.
So another big change to the Red Blacks this year is coming to the D block, as you guys call it. I think you got guys lost four defensive backs this offseason.
Yeah.
What do you think the team is going to do to try and replace that?
Well, you have Jonathan Rose, who played a little bit last season, and then he was kind of a one-game injured list, come in and play. So he's made some plays, so he'll step in. And then the hope is Mikel Charland, who they drafted last season, he's a Canadian, might be able to come in and start. But really, they might just have to go in and just find other Americans, what they did with all their other defensive backs. Like, Kane was virtually unknown before Ottawa.
Now, one of the playoff heroes, Keenan LaFrance, moved on, signed with the Riders here. How does that change the backfield for Ottawa, but also with the ratio as well?
It doesn't really change the backfield that much because you had Powell coming back because he missed all last season with an injury. And you still have Moses Madu, so now you just won't have the Canadian back there. As for the ratio, it won't have that much of an impact because they were going like 2-3 over the ratio anyways. So, and like LaFrance wasn't really starting too. He only started, I think, maybe one or two games. But the ratio shouldn't really have an impact because they could go four offensive linemen Canadian right away, and then you have Sinopoli. And then they got a couple on the D line too.
So let's go prediction time. Where do you see the Red Blacks finishing the 2017 season?
I've been tossing up 10-8 and 11-7, but I do think they're first in the East still. I just have to go first in the East until another team proves otherwise.
Who do you think their biggest competition is?
The Tiger Cats. If Kolaris is healthy, I think Hamilton, like, they have a real shot at it. Toronto, they're, who knows what they're going to be. Montreal, they have Durant. But other, like, Montreal is kind of going to rebuild. They're kind of going for it. So really, it's just Ottawa and Hamilton. Like, they're just going to be the fighting for first in the East.
And one final question for you here. Ottawa hosting the Grey Cup this year. Do you see Ottawa winning it again?
I do not. I'm going to go with the Stampeders. They should have won last year, even coming from an Ottawa fan. They were the better team, just not on that day. But Calgary's so good. You have Bo Levi. You have, like, their defense is unreal. Like, Jerome Messam's one of the best backs in the league. It's just so hard for anyone to knock down Calgary. But a long shot, or my underdog, is the BC Lions.
All right, cool. Thanks so much for joining us this week.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, that's it for us this week. Make sure you join us next week. On next week's show, we're going to have the latest Rider news. We should hear some more signings with training camp starting up next Sunday, so we should hear about some moves there. We're going to take a look at the Calgary Stampeders in our team preview and see how they're reloading back to, you know, another trip to the Grey Cup. We'll do another player profile. We'll see if we have a rant for next week as well, but we're just going to talk the latest Rider news and have some more fun. So make sure you join us next week for that. And in the meantime, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
I am at Safamon.
You can follow me at Fernie635.
You can follow Amy at CFL Hottie Bowl. She mysteriously vanished. I have no idea where she went. But make sure you follow her as well. Like us on Instagram. Just search Piffles Pod. On Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. And make sure you check out our website, PifflesPodcast.com. Check out the merchandise there in the shop. Some pretty cool stuff there, if I do say so myself. And until Friday, so if you're listening to this, today when we release this is Thursday, so you got a couple days to get in on our contest, win two tickets to Bryan Adams and two gift cards from Coney Island Poutine. So make sure you enter that, and we'll draw a winner for that on Friday, so make sure you're in. And you can find that on our Twitter page and also on our Facebook page. So enter in on both, get a couple entries in there. And also don't forget to join our CFL Pick'em group for your chance to embarrass us and win a cool prize pack. This has been the Piffles Podcast, brought to you by the best poutine in the prairies, Coney Island Poutine Cafe in Regina. Thanks for listening.